Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. A lot of politics with your coffee. Welcome, and yes, in the immortal words of Chevy Chase, I'm Jeff Krupp, and you're not. All right, lots to get into today. Transgenderism. You know, there's always the law of unintended consequences, right? Well, it is front and center. A couple of Breitbart stories about that that really are quite interesting. But it illustrates the depths to which depravity, shall we say, can go. And it really begs the question, how far does this all go? What's next for the regressive totalitarian Marxists to ram down our throats through the courts? What next aberrant, deviant, perverted behavior is normalized? Because we have to be fair. And if you don't, you're discriminating and you're racist. And nobody wants to be called that, right? Especially conservatives, especially Republicans who run screaming to the hills. No, please don't call me that, unless you're Donald Trump. Also, I want to talk about the Oregon Secretary of State. Just rejected for most interesting reasons the ballot title of an in statewide initiative proposed by Oregonians for Immigration Reform, the group that in large measure was responsible for repealing the legislature's illegal alien driver's license law passed back in 2014, repealed it by 2-1, folks. Big deal. It was a very big deal. Well, the middle finger that the Democrats and Kate gave to us, the voters, 5 years later, because they just passed that same thing, Oregonians for Immigration Reform, OFER, as they are known, put forward an initiative. And after 2 months of wrangling, the Oregon Secretary of State says, no, you can't do it. Sorry, doesn't meet the constitutional requirement. And it's dubious reasoning, to be sure. And let me ask you this. Are you ready for same-day voter registration? Mark Hass, state senator, liberal, former broadcaster, who is running for Secretary of State. Well, he's proposing that idea. Now, some states have it. Is it full of fraud? Does it scare you? And finally, a great piece in the by Bob Clark from the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. It's in OregonCatalyst.com. And it's about what the California blackouts and gas price spikes in California, what it means for Oregon. All of that today, friends, as we get started on a one-hour excursion into talking about important things that are important to your life. And you need to be participating in it. And it's easy. You pick up the phone, give me your opinion about these issues. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Or send me an email to Jeff at 1220. .am Jeff at 1220.am. Transgenderism. This is really interesting. In the UK, that's Britain, folks. Here's the headline. A transgender model. Okay. This is a guy who looks like an incredibly beautiful woman. Files a complaint after being denied a porn job because he still had all of his parts, his male parts. Now, unlike in Oregon, I mean, it's too bad he didn't grow up in Oregon, and as a 15-year-old, you can have your male parts cut off and become a female at 15 under Oregon's rules and have the taxpayers pay for it. And you, the parent, you don't have a say in the matter. Did you know that? Some of you have heard me say that before and have challenged me on it. It's true, and I can send you the news stories. Anyway, I just find it interesting. This transgender model apparently wasn't aware that you could grow up in Oregon and you could have the taxpayers pay to whack off your whatever. Anyway, so he was, this transgender model was denied, files a complaint, because in the UK you can do that kind of thing, because he was denied a job because he still had his male parts. Now, that is an interesting unintended consequence, isn't it? You're being denied a porn job because you look like a woman. Now, there's a companion story here on Breitbart, and it's about this transgender activist, Jessica Yanov, who loses the Brazilian wax lawsuit in Canada. Now, I know that neither one of these are in America, and certainly not in Oregon. But, folks, if you don't think this isn't coming here by the LGBTQ alphabet crowd, Basic Rights Oregon, friends, they have already been advocating for these things. And if you oppose it, they call you a racist. They say it's discriminatory. These are the unintended consequences. Now, we talked about this story before. This transgender activist is not like the UK model. The UK model looks like an incredibly beautiful woman. This guy is anything but, if you've seen the pictures of him. And this is the guy that sued one of these, you know, these Vietnamese, and the reason I say Vietnamese is because apparently a lot of Vietnamese come to America and open up these nail salons. Well, some of them offer in Canada Brazilian wax, and they refuse to do it. And this guy sues because they're women. He's a guy. They don't feel comfortable doing it. These are the rights of businesses. There's two points to make about this. These are the rights of businesses to make these decisions about whom they serve. And just because somebody says it's discriminatory doesn't mean it is, under the definition of the law. Now, I know the law gets expanded, and you know, the law goes before liberal courts of appeals and liberal courts and liberal Supreme Courts, and sometimes it's ruled the wrong way. In the UK, you can reject somebody for a law, and under their laws, or you can reject somebody for a job, rather, like this porn guy. This guy wants to get a porn job. Looks like an incredibly beautiful woman. Still got his parts. They say, no, you can't do it. Well, there, you can file a complaint with the cops, because apparently that's a criminal thing. In the UK, you got to sue. Or excuse me, rather, in the Canada, you got to sue. The point is that businesses have rights based on a number of things, including your right to determine who it is you're going to, because of the nature of your business, what's appropriate for you to offer, or what kind of a service and to whom to offer it to. That's coming to America, folks. That's coming to Oregon. You mark my words. Yeah, these may be happening in other countries. Believe me, it's coming here to Oregon. This is the unintended consequence. But here's the question I ask at the beginning of the show. And Ron, I'll get to you in a second. Hold on. At the beginning of the show, I said, how far does this depravity go? You see, they forced homosexuality on us, because now we had to change our laws, and now it became discriminatory. Remember in Oregon, it was discriminatory to say, and this was years ago, well, you get domestic partner benefits if you're heterosexual, but if you're gay or lesbian, you don't. So they go to court, and everybody runs to the hills screaming with their hair on fire. No, please don't sue me. Yeah, please don't call me discriminatory. Yes, let's do it. Okay, so they rammed that one down our throats. Then they said, well, now you've got to accept gay marriage after we, the people of Oregon, voted in a constitutional amendment. Now, they didn't do that through Oregon. They did it, like many states, had their constitutions just thrown out by the U.S. Supreme Court on gay marriage. They rammed that one down our throats, not through the legislatures, but rather through the courts. And then finally now, it's transgenderism, right? That issue is being rammed down our throats by the legislatures and ultimately will end up in the U.S. Supreme Court. There are unintended consequences to all of these things. Some of them are business-oriented, some of them are rights-oriented, but what's the damage to culture? How far does this go? What's next? What next are they going to ram down our throats in the quest by the regressive totalitarian Marxist to force transformational change on us? What's next? Sex with 12-year-olds? Is that next? What's next? Bestiality? Now, I'm quite serious, folks. What's next that we allow in through our courts that makes us the next Sodom and Gomorrah? What would be the outcome of that? Not just the legal questions, like we've talked about here, both in the UK and Canada with these two stories about transgenders, but what's the cultural impact? Let's go to Ron, who's on the line. Ron, good morning. What do you say?
Oh, I'll tell you what's coming next, but also I'll also address Rev Clarno, too. What's coming next is they're going to basically, the gay mafia, the great gay Marxist union, like Basic Rocks and everybody, you know what the ultimate goal is? Is do like what they've done in California. A teenager, 13, 14, 15-year-old, they can prostitute themselves and make money. But they won't charge the kid or get him mental help or hold him accountable. They'll hold the Johns accountable while they do that. That was set up in Jeffersonville under Jerry Brown 2 years ago. That's the norm now in California. So down in the Bay Area, San Diego, and other places, but it's better where you go, male or female, they're utilized for that situation. Back doorway of human sex trafficking. But yet, that's a blind eye. That's what it's going to lead to. Damnation. But getting back to Beth Clarno, you know, it's pretty funny. She never, if my memory serves me right, she really never have supported the keeping the driver's license where he lives. But at the same time, she's doing the Pat Yorkie bidding for the Tate Brown. This might be the revenge served cold, my brother, because the fix is in. And the fact is, based on what it is, they got the signatures, Jim Zine, got the definition, and now you're going to say you can't repeal the law? Who she thinks she is? Marie Antoinette? Or is she doing the retro-Bolshevik Queen's work, Miss Kate Brown?
Oh, I think the answer's obvious there. It's the latter. Ron, thanks, brother. Be safe out today, flagging.
Yep,
got so it. Is that what Bev Parnell's really doing? Is she doing Queen Kate's bidding here? Or is there a real justification? 6:20 in the morning, we'll be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past the top of the hour. What do you think about Bev Clarno denying the Oregonians for immigration reforms ballot initiative after ruminating on it for 2 months? Because it just says that the petition says we're going to repeal a law that ORS or House Bill blah, 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 blah is repealed. Bev Clarno says that's not enough. Says the Constitution says you have to include the full text of the proposed law. She is making a mistake here. She is doing the bidding of Queen Kate here, all right? There's no question about it. Because what's being proposed is the repeal of a law that is already passed. It is part of the ORS. Now, I think that if they were to take this to court, they would win. Why? Because prior Secretary of States numerous times have allowed for circulation the very same language that says ORS blah, blah, blah is hereby repealed. She's saying that's not enough. Well, Mark Callahan, one of the chief petitioners, was stunned. He immediately sent Clarno an email. This is an OPB story. And again, you can find this if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. Disputing the finding and asking her to reconsider, he said he's not proposing a new law. But pushing a law to be scrubbed from the books. How can we submit the full text of a law that we are not proposing? It doesn't make any sense. If we're not proposing a law, there is not a full text of a law to submit. Bev Clarno will lose this argument even before the liberals and the Oregon Court of Appeals and the Oregon Supreme Court. And she should. Now, she's doing it for political reasons. Because, of course, Democrats do not want this issue before the voters in November of 2020. They don't want anybody out there because they don't want their candidates, number one, to be asked about it in these meetings and to be campaigned against. Because it's still a powerful issue, folks. The second thing is they really don't want this to get on the books because they know it probably passes once again. Because the argument is simple, is that the arrogant politicians aren't listening to you. That once again, they're giving you the middle finger. But what's interesting is that what former Republican State Representative Rich Vile, who's the Deputy Secretary of State, says about this. This gives you an insight. What he said, his words, is quoted here in the OPB article, the insight as to what's really going on behind the scenes. And I'm going to tell you that in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you to consider using CBD oil products because, well, for me personally, they work. They work really well. You know, the other day, I'm 60, but I still run and work out. And I pump a little iron just about every day. And I will tell you that, you know, I had a kind of a pulled muscle and I put CBD, rubbed a CBD oil cream on. You know what? That pain went away. It was amazing. Now, that's just an anecdotal story, but it's a good reason for you to consider using CBD oil products. And you ought to buy them from where I buy them, which is Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. Again, down on South Commercial, South Salem, right next to Safeway. They have a great website called vimsalem.com where you can read all about it. Read all about CannaShield. That is the product that you can be assured is of the highest quality. It's what they sell, CannaShield. Because I think in many ways it shields your body. Now, that's just my personal viewpoint of it. I think you ought to consider Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care is a great place to talk with about about using CBD oil products. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care, their website, Vim Salem, to learn about CannaShield. All right, so what did Rich Vile say? Deputy Secretary of State Rich Vile told OPB that a petition that laid out exactly which provisions of Oregon law would be stricken if it were approved by the voters would be able to proceed. And here's what he said, quote, "We'd probably have to let that one come," unquote. I'll just stop there for a moment. What does that tell you? Why would you choose words like that? "We'd probably have to let that one come," he said with great resignation. Darn, because we don't want this thing to get on the ballot. "We'd probably have to let that one come." rather than saying something that would be very neutral. No, that if they did that, it would meet the constitutional requirement and would likely be approved. No, he chose to say we'd probably have to let that one come. Tells you a lot about who's really driving the bus at the Secretary of State's office, doesn't it? A lot. Now, they're trying to say in the story here that, well, it's similar to one that she made in September regarding three of these closely related proposals about forest protections. And basically, she got she's been hit about that, and they have since filed lawsuits challenging her ruling. But that was different, very different. She said they were overbroad and not meeting the constitutional requirement to embrace one subject only. That's an entirely different argument than this one. Now, this is how they're trying to say, well, she's really just trying to be fair and even-handed here. No, that ain't what's happening here at all. At any rate, friends, this is not a good thing. And it is Kate Brown, Queen Kate, as Ron so rightly noted, exerting her influence through the Oregon Secretary of State, a Republican, which, by the way, had to commit saying she would not run for Secretary of State. Now, talking about Secretary of State race, a Democrat Secretary of State says we ought to have same-day voter registration. And what the California blackouts and high gas prices mean for Oregon, all of that when we come back. It is 6:30. You're listening to Political Coffee, and I'm Jeff Krupp, and you're not.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll get back to the topics du jour for today, but I wanted to read a couple of emails. And by the way, if you want to send me an email, do feel free to do that, because I'll do my darndest to read it on the air. Sometimes they're a little bit long, and I'll have to condense them, but that's okay. I deeply appreciate hearing your point of view, because I don't know everything. And sometimes you guys are really good at suggesting ideas and things to me. Anyway, you want to send me an email, it's jeff@1220.am. Betty, former Marion County Commissioner, longtime politico, wrote me an email about just some of the things that have happened in times past here in Oregon. And, you know, she spent a lot of time in the political world in the Republican Party and serving as a GOP chairman in Marion County and other things. And in addition to being a Marion County commissioner, she's very politically astute. One of the things is she's aware of a website that I have looked at a lot. And it's called, there's a group called Truth in Accountings. And they have a report. And you can find them on the web. Just go to Truth in Accounting. Don't do a Google search. Do a DuckDuckGo search. Don't give those leftists at Google any more money. Anyway, it's called The Financial State of the States. They release it every year in September. And so she says, I figure you are sharper on the internet than I am, so I figured you'd find it. How bad is it for Oregon? The truth is staggering. New Jersey is 50th on the list, and each taxpayer owes $65,100 in order for the state to meet its promised obligations. So how bad is Oregon? This relates to yesterday's topic, right? where I said that I ask you the question, how do we, because the state senator asked me this question, and I've got to have this conversation with him. And it's simply this, is how do we fire up the grassroots? How do we do that? So Betty says, you're looking for a subject to wake Oregon's up, Oregonians up? This might be it. Maybe. So there are other things that, and I haven't had this conversation yet with this senator, but I'm going to do it. Because yesterday, I made the point that these two things have to happen. One of them being that we have to emotionally describe the issues that are politically hot potatoes in this state. And we have to help people, the persuadables, see what's the benefit of our position. And that I said, unfortunately, you have to use some fear. It's fear of loss of things, right? If you're going to lose your Second Amendment right, that's one thing. Through the, you know, death by a thousand cuts, right? This little law here, this little law there, and ultimately it creates an infringement on your right to keep and bear arms. Well, that's one thing to say that. Most of the time it doesn't really grab the average person. But if you describe that fear of loss in an emotional way, it changes that perspective entirely. In fact, it really does. It moves people. That's what you got to do. You got to move people. We have to communicate to people's hearts. Conservatives are not good at that, and the Republican Party is horrible at it. And we'll get into more of that, because there's a great email from an unnamed, shall we say, state employee that is a little bit long, but it frankly it expands on this point, and I think it's absolutely right on the money. Again, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Sorry, so Mark Hass is a state senator, Democrat, former reporter, I think, for Channel 8. He was when I served in the legislature. Anyway, he's running for Secretary of State now. He wants to amend Oregon's constitution to allow same-day voter registration. There are some states who have it. And friends, it has been proven to be full of fraud. Now, can you imagine busloads of Democrat activists driving across, say, from Vancouver, Washington, into Portland? Busloads of them. Now, why do I say busloads? Because there is photographs of exactly that same thing happening in other places. Like, for instance, Wisconsin. They allow same-day voter registration. I've seen pictures of buses lined up, parked on the streets, with Minnesota license plates at polling places on election day. What do you suppose is going on there? Can you imagine this happening in Oregon? Of course. Now, is this a good thing? We already have vote by mail, but apparently vote by mail and having to register 21 days before an election just really does what? It restricts access. It restricts it. It's voter suppression. Now, he doesn't say that, but he really is saying that. But here's what he does say. He says in his press release that this creates unnecessary obstacles for people already busy with kids, with work, and everyday life. Now, notice what I just said there. It's an unnecessary obstacle for people already busy with kids. We love kids. With work, I mean, that's important, right? And we, and with just everyday life. Oh, how wonderfully emotional. How touchy-feely. Isn't that great? So we've got to allow massive opportunity for voter fraud. That's how I characterize it. With same-day voter registration, because it's just an unnecessary obstacle for people that are already busy with their kids and their work and their everyday life. Right? Now, what did I say to you about yesterday's topic that we just got into as I was reading emails? The emotional argument, right? This is what the left is so good at, and we're not. And this provides the opportunity to radically transform Oregon even further than it already is. So what do you think about this? Same-day voter registration? Is this a good idea or a bad idea? 503-589-1220. I think it's a very bad idea, and I think I'm not probably alone in this audience. But how would you use this issue? How would you characterize this issue in conversations, possibly persuadable conversations, with other people? How would you do that? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Can you make an equally emotional counter argument? Would love to hear what some of you have to say about that. So, this unnamed state employee writes me this email about yesterday's topic, firing up the grassroots for the next election. And this person says, I agree 100% on your two points. We need, number one, we need one-on-one conversations with persuadable people, and we need to communicate to their hearts. People today listen with their hearts, and they think with their emotional feelings. And this person goes on to say, I would humbly suggest, though, that these two points in and of themselves don't go far enough to build on these ideas. He believes, number one, we have to greatly expand the number of people we are having persuadable conversations with. The Republican conservative base is not enough. The unengaged, uninformed, and unaffiliated must be personally engaged. And that can't just happen through personal conversation of your listeners. A practical strategy is to reach the hearts of the target audience is needed, including a ground game, including knocking in every door to persuade the persuadable. We need to also use social media in powerful and creative ways, and we need to get airtime on key television and radio shows repeatedly. The senator, number two, asks you this question. I would ask the senator what he and his Republican colleagues are going to do to mobilize the grassroots. How many times have the Senate and House Republican leaders held press conferences over the last few months on the steps of the Capitol to call out Queen Kate and her vassals on their regressive totalitarian Marxist agenda? How many Republican leaders have written op-ed articles in the major papers over the last several months? How many Republican leaders have taken out billboards in major population areas airing the incredible abuses and deception of Queen Kate and her court? How has the social media been effectively used to reach millennials? To communicate to people's hearts, we need to get their attention. Are we doing that? Finally, to fire up the grassroots to get the attention of the unengaged, we need a new type of conservative candidate who's willing to fight and passionately pursue a new message that targets the heart of the majority of Oregonians. All excellent points to be expanded on and expounded, don't you think? It's 6:48 in the morning, back with your phone calls and this other story about what's going on in California. Now it's no doubt coming to Oregon. California blackouts and high gas.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. It is your last opportunity today, anyway, to call and give me your thoughts, your opinion about the issues of the day that we're talking about. So we'll start first with Art. Art, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. We got a good connection?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, you know, Oregonians aren't smart enough to know that they have to register to vote by a certain time in order to take part in a fair election. And so we got to change the Constitution. So basically, the Democrats are guaranteed to win all the time. I mean, what an insult, Jeff. That man has stated what he thinks about Oregon voters and that we got to change our Constitution. It should say enough that you sure as heck shouldn't cast your vote for him because he doesn't believe the Secretary of State's office is supposed to be a position nonpartisanship. It needs to be completely Democratic controlled so they can stack the deck and win no matter what.
That's been the history. It's been the history of Democrat Secretary of State. Kate Brown, when she was Secretary of State, did exactly that. Made a number of controversial rulings as Secretary of State that made it easier for Democrats to win and Republicans to lose. You're absolutely right. Here's what's interesting, Art, about this proposal, is that Haas says that they would put in place a real-time statewide check system to ensure that only eligible Oregonians can register to vote. How many more computer failure programs, IT projects, incredibly expensive, do we need in Oregon? They can't implement hardly any of them correctly. Think this one would work? I don't.
Well, no, you and I both know that. You know this is an attempt to stack the deck. And quite frankly, I'm insulted as an Oregonian that he would think that I'm stupid enough to believe that there's a real problem here and that Oregonians are being denied the right to vote. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's so hard. You get that vote by mail ballot. Art, thanks for your thoughts today. It's so hard to vote, isn't it? You know, the thing arrives in your mailbox, and it just sits there. You got on to like 20 days to, you know, go vote. Unbelievable. Yeah, it is an insult. Well said. Rebecca, you're back, and you're earlier today. That's good. What do you have to say?
I just yesterday wasn't paying attention to the time and was just listening. Anyway, so often when I've had conversations with Democrats, I have never been able to anticipate where their mind is going. For example, when I asked the Democrat chief of staff at the Capitol, did you know that in Belgium parents can choose to kill their children through age 18? And he goes, yeah, but only the handicapped. It just floors you sometimes, the things that they respond to a conversation. But this thing about
that's an astonishing thing. That you actually got that kind of a response, but only the handicapped.
The conversation was about Margaret Sanger, and her. She was a eugenicist, like Hitler,
right,
and like
right.
some of the others, and she said one of the things she said was, "Blacks are like weeds; you have to exterminate them." So I was in the Capitol wearing a pin that said the Democrat Negro Project still kills black people. And I came to one office, and the aide in there looked at it, and she goes, I hate the KKK. And I went, oh, well, what organization do you like? And she goes, the SPLC, as though that was a really good organization. Well, that's the new KKK.
Southern Poverty Law Center, yes, highly discredited, but used constantly by the major news media. So how do we, so you wear controversial buttons when you're around the Capitol?
Well,
you're
they're
very
not
active.
Really controversial. They're not well, really controversial in my mind. I wear
not to you, but my point is that they are to other people, and it creates conversations. That's the point.
It does. And my button, one man, one woman marriage, is terribly controversial. It causes all kinds of hate speech.
Okay, so the question is, all right, have you had persuadable conversations with people because you wear those buttons?
Oh, you never know if somebody is going to later be persuaded by a button. I try to make buttons that cause people to be persuaded. And I try to have conversations. I had a 40-minute conversation with a lesbian one time who was offended with my one man, one woman. But at the end, she goes, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Well, I don't know if eventually our conversation of 40 minutes in length, I was trying my best to show her how illogical it was to not have one woman, one man marriage. And a lot of my arguments, I feel, were very persuadable. But at the end, she couldn't. I don't know what eventually will happen with her.
Sure, because you never know what seeds you plant. And that's exactly correct. That is the art of doing this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebecca, thanks. I got to let you go because I want to finish up the show here. You never know, folks, seeds you are planting with people, but you have to choose the persuadables carefully when it comes to one-on-one conversations. And, you know, this is a much deeper discussion that we will get into. I wanted to make mention, because I think this is also something you've got to be aware of. The whole cap and trade issue is going to be back. It's a scam. And it's going to dramatically increase your cost of living. But it has some interesting unintended consequences also. And that's this piece by Bob Clark in the Oregon Catalyst today. And we'll probably run out of time to talk about it because this is going to come back. In California, in 2012, they adapted cap and trade. Okay. World oil prices were at a peak right in when California launched its cap and trade program. Now, the price of crude oil back then was 40% higher than it is today. But yet California's gas prices are way higher than 2012. Lots more to talk about there. Maybe tomorrow, folks. Thanks for joining us today. Get out there, make it a great day. Be blessed. See you tomorrow.